You esteem me higher than all else. I want you to know. I'm esteeming you. At this time, I'm taking you to a new plateau. A world that you've never seen before. Your hearts have yearned for more and more. Well, you're going higher as I esteem you now before these people that are standing with you. I will lift you up to a height that will be breathtaking. I have seen and I know and I do. Go by what I've seen. I've seen your hearts. I've seen the yearning. I've seen the longing. I've seen the commitment. And I know your hearts. So I esteem you high at this time. Higher than you ever dreamed. Your feet will be lifted off the ground. And you will soar above all that has gone before you. You will soar higher. You will soar and you will know that I have seen and I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. You have come to a place and there is no return. There is no return. You will soar with the eagles. You will soar above the mountains. You will soar in this world that you do not belong to, for you have made it clear. You are not of this world. And so I say to you now, take this moment and walk higher with me as I lift you high, high, high above, says the Lord.
I have the pleasure of introducing tonight my brother and his wife, Frances.
You know, sometimes you have desires and they don't get fulfilled, but my desire is just one thing, really, to present the Word of God. That's what I like to do. And the message tonight is about who you are, what you have received, and what God is expecting of you. We have a lot to do before the Lord comes back. Many people are expecting the Lord back shortly, but no, he won't come until you see the Antichrist. Remember that. I can give you the scripture for that after we finish. Okay, I'm going to quote all the way over to the beginning of the Bible. You go to Genesis. You're going to see there, Genesis chapter 1, verse 20. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea and over the fowls of the air. And over all the cattle and all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created Adam, and he told him, as one thing he gave him, and said, do not eat of the tree, that is chapter 2, verse 17, tree of knowledge and of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it, for on the day that thou eatest thereof, you shall surely die. Well, he died spiritually, not physically. And the point I'm trying to make here is that we're going to see in Genesis 5, verse 3. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. So the likeness now was what? Likeness was his physical being. But the image was he was a sinner. And we were all sinners until Jesus. That's the point I'm trying to make. So we're going to go over to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what? new creature. All things are passed away, and all things are become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That's the most important ministry we have, people. If you don't get them saved, you're going to go to hell forever and ever. Every one of us has the ministry of reconciliation, and it's something that we must take very seriously. I was actually telling someone about the last person that got saved in Hilo, and he said, will you please share it tonight? It's very simple. We're walking in the park, someone's coming across the street, said, oh, you go first, because I've hurt my leg and I can't walk fast. He came up and said, really? He said, will you mind if I pray for you? I said, no. So I prayed for him. I said, are you a Christian? No. But my father and mother was. So anyway, I said, would you like to say a prayer receiving Jesus as your Lord? And he did. Simple as that. And he when I finished laying hands on him, he started walking away. All of a sudden, he said, hey, pain is gone. And he said, oh, I can walk for more now. And then he went down, and there was a cone where they were working, do some, you know, those cones they keep to stop you from going into construction area. And he picked one up and he said, thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm telling you that because that park is very fruitful for me. I see a lot of people who are sick and different things. And I could spend an hour telling you about people that have led to the Lord there. So we're down there. There's the understanding. But they need to be told about the Lord, okay? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1, I'm just going to quote that, okay? 1 through 4. It says, God was from the time and David my spoke to the prophets in the last days that today spoken to us by his son, by whom he made the world. Okay? Today God is speaking to who? His children. By the Holy Spirit. And he has a lot to say to you. And believe you me, you will not learn to hear his voice as good as you should until you do something or several things that you don't want to do when he tells you to do it. It's my experience. You have to know. You say, oh, that can't be. Or you do it. And you know it's God. And that voice will always be with you. I was speaking to someone the other day and he was surprised to hear that God do speak to us. But he does. And we should all have that privilege to hear him speak to you. Okay, we want to go to the book of Amos very, very quickly. Okay, Amos chapter 3. I use a lot of scriptures, so please, it's better to write them down. You will not be able to keep up with me. It says, can two walk together except they be agreed? No, you're going to go east, I'm going to go west, right? Then it says in verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Today, God wants to speak to you personally and tell you what he wants you to do and where he wants it to be. And over in chapter 4, verse 13, it says, for lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared unto man what is his thought. God wants to tell you thoughts too. Before he does it, he wants to tell you about things in your life he wants to do. And declared unto man what is his thought that making the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high places of the earth. The Lord, the God of hosts, is named. Okay, let's go over to the book of Titus, please. My memory is not as good as it should be, so praise God. Thank you, Lord. Book of Titus. Chapter 2, 11 through 14. For the grace of God that hath brought salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. That word peculiar means exceedingly precious, strange, okay, and also sanctified. There's one more thing it means, but I can't remember that. I forgot to look it up in the dictionary I have there. Okay? So we are a peculiar people. And God has created us, that's a new us. Made us who we are so we can do what he wants us to do. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 16. It says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That was true in the day of Isaiah, when that was first written. Okay? I remember I was in Hampstead Bible School in London once teaching, and when I said that, you know, there was nothing. And then I went on and said, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And all of a sudden, the whole church of students started cheering. The pastor had taught from Isaiah, and I didn't believe it. So I came now, and I'm telling them, it's changed, okay? And there was such a great show in there. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man know the things of man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Though we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's how we receive from God now, by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Which things we speak, not in the words of man, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So unless you are born again, you cannot understand the things of God. But he that is spiritual judgeth or discerneth all things, yet he himself is judged or discerned of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Yes, we have the mind of Christ, people. And as we have that mind, it's a different way now that we think and do things. Okay, let's go with 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ, according as his divine power has given unto us all things, not some, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called you us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God wants us to be partakers of his divine nature in this world, not when we get to heaven. We'll be there automatic, things like that. But today, God wants us to see the power and the might and the Holy Spirit working through every individual with healing, deliverance. You know, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said, if you believe in my name, what are you going to do? Lay hands on the sick and what? They shall recover. Every one of us has the authority to do that. Like when I go to Africa, I beg them, please lay hands on the sick. Because, you know, over there, in the days I used to go, there was no doctors as such. And so there were always so many people that were sick. You could be in a church with 60 people, and when you come to pray for the people, you might spend an hour and a half first praying for people as they go through the church, coming for healing. And it used to break my heart that they were not following the word of God and laying hands on the sick. We all have that. And that's a sign that will convince the unbelievers too. When you touch them, pray for them, and God heals them. So remember now, we all have that ministry. Okay, we're going to go over to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which have received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Are you reigning in life? Are you in control of your life? Or is somebody is in, or something is in control of it? Can you make a decision that God tells you to make or to do and get it accomplished? You should be able to. you have the Holy Spirit working in you. The power of God is for you. And if you are walking in the light of the Word, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit will appear, whatever He calls you to do, you will be able to achieve it. But you must trust God. Never think you cannot do that if you know it's from the Lord. You must step out in faith, believing. You know, once the Lord told me to go to Africa. Okay, this was early in our ministry. And the only money we had was, I've been to Africa once, was $600 or $700. And that's what it cost for the inoculation to go to where we were going. Okay, $700. We used that $700 and we got the inoculation. I'd been before, so I had some inoculation already. Francis helped us some more of all of it. We had no money. The year fare was $6,000 in those days. It took about 3-4 planes to get where we're going, you know? We're up from one country to the next, in Africa from one, you know, just hopping around the place. Anyway, the point is that an elderly Mexican-American, actually came here illegally, I found out later. I had no money, nobody gave me anything, but I knew how to go. And he came to me and he used to come into my home where I lived a Bible study, and he gave me $2,100 bills. A few days, they said, have you got any more money? I said, no. He gave me another $2,100. And finally, he came up with the last $20. A $6,000 this elderly man gave me. And between my family and myself, we got enough for the rest of the to do what we had to do. So you see, if I just said, okay, I can't go, I don't have any money. Then the thing came to now, I was to go to Africa, and I knew to this Uganda. And I didn't know anybody there. And so almost just before I left, I just happened to speak to my brother in Canada. I said, you know, I'm going to a place in the Uganda and I don't know anyone there. He said, no problem. My pastor has a brother there with a pastor. And we made the contact. But we went there, ate and drink like we were here. I just love when she go with me. We get food. I mean, real food. We sleep in beds, you know. I sleep on bamboo floor, you know. I slant it. You slide down to the wall and you got to climb up back at night. I sleep on wooden bed with only a sheet in it, you know, those places. But when she comes, man, it's different. We went to India and we had a chef that used to cook for our English colonel. And every day he cooked for us. I would say, I'm fasting today, don't cook. Yes, sir. Lunch is served, sir. When lunch is served. No dinner. Yes, sir. Sir, dinner is ready. I mean, I put, that's the only time in my life I've ever been overseas, I put weight on. And I did. So what I'm saying is when she comes in, I got it made, okay? Okay, Romans 5:17, right? Where is it now? Okay, but the point I want to ask you, are you reigning in life, like I said? Or are you being deceived and hindered? Through lack of faith. If God tells you to do something, please step out and do it. And you will soon see the manifestation. Okay, Romans chapter 6, verse 3 to 4. Know you not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Our old man is dead, supposed to be dead, okay? Don't revive him, okay? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, but that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life also. See, we are a new person now. The old man is dead. Don't wake him up back. Now we walk in the newness that we have with Jesus Christ. We become spiritually conscious, hearing from the Holy Spirit, doing what he says to do. Sometimes a little thing, sometimes a big thing. But the main thing, you're going to start off with something big that you're going to think, I don't think I can do that. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to think. You don't think you can do it. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:11. We which live are already delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. You got that now? The old man is dead, okay? So then, dead were good in us, but life in you, okay? We have in the same spirit of faith as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. A whole lot there to learn from that, those scriptures. A lot. Okay. Romans chapter 8. We're going to go to verse 14 through 18. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons and, of course, daughters of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Wow. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of God. I won't go into that, okay? All nature is waiting for the manifestation of us. When we come back with Jesus, we shall change this world again and bring it back to what it was. We call that the millennium. 1,000 years we govern. We probably orbit in the earth in the New Jerusalem. That's what we're probably doing. We won't be living on the earth as much, I don't think. No, we will be just governing. And God has so much planned for us. I just hope that we will just walk in the fullness of what he's called us. Okay, Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in him, rooted and built up, and established in faith, as you have been taught, abounding there with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When you see Jesus, you see the Father and the Holy Spirit. The Godhead is represented in him, what he do, what he say. And you are complete in him, which is head of all principality and power. Yeah, we are complete now. Our spiritual man is complete. And we have a lot to do, like I said before, on this earth. In whom also we are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you who, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Any sin you've confessed, God has buried it. Don't let the devil bring it back to you, okay? Walk free from it now. Walk free from it. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I'm going to leave it at that there, okay? Okay, you saw where we were buried with him in death, right? Okay, chapter 3, verse 2. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid in Christ. That's the old man again, is dead. Leave him buried, okay? Are dead. Our affection, our things to do the Lord's will, fulfilling what he's called us to do. And if all the churches were doing this, people, we could take this earth for the Lord. There's churches that won't even go out through their doorway. I keep telling people that in Hawaii. You got to go into the world. Every one of us is called to go into the world and deliver God's messages. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians 2, verse 18 through 22. Well, actually, let's start with verse 17. The Apostle Paul is praying. It says, in verse 16, you see he's praying for them. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I'm going to read it again. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in his saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards what we believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. That's the power that's working, that raised a dead Jesus, and now he's in heaven. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and in every name that's named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all things. Remember, we are the body. Jesus is the head, okay? What directs the body? The head. Thank you, sir. The head directs it. Let him direct your life. You'll find it's going to be much more fruitful and much easier. And it's all going to be, you know, easy. Far from it, if it was my gosh. No, we live in a world where Satan is trying to stop those who are trying to do the will of the Lord. And he tries very hard. Because I'm sorry to say it, a lot of Christians are not doing so much. So he can, okay, you can leave that one alone. They're not going to do nothing. Okay? Concentrate on that one over there. You don't believe me? Trust me. If you're not doing nothing for the Lord, Satan ain't bothered about you, no way. Just go along and do what you're doing. But you start doing things for the Lord, and things could change very easily. Okay, Ephesians 3, verse 8. The Apostle Paul speaking again says, unto me who am less than the least of all the saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hidden God. Who created Jesus? Who created all things by Jesus? In case you didn't know, everything is made by Jesus. But God is that great big architect. Everything is made by Jesus. It says in John's Gospel, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without him was not anything made that was made. But Jesus has made everything, okay? According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Yeah, we should have boldness and confidence to go to the Father, to receive and to give. That all needs to be met. We don't go there cringling and begging. We go there as children. Didn't you say we were joint heirs with Christ? We read that, right? So we go like we are. Same what he said, join tears with him. Okay? Okay, over to Ephesians chapter 4 now. We're going to start with verse 22. The Apostle Paul speaking says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Again, the old man must be left out. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. yeah, you're righteous and you're supposed to be very holy. He made you. Once you became born again, you were holy. Now, if you started to become unholy again, God had no choice over that. You know, you're going to do it, not him. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be you angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Every time you do the wrong stuff, you're giving place to the enemy. And he has the freedom to walk in and do what he wants it to do. Okay? Okay, we're going to go Ephesians 5. It says, be you followers of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling Savior. You know, most of us here, I would imagine, our parents or all of us, how pleasing it is when your children behave and do the right thing. Eh? Same thing with God. He wants to see his children now walk in the light of his word, doing the right thing. And we can be such a great blessing to others. But we must take that extra step to reach them and make that little sacrifice. You see, a lot of us, what if they rebuff me? So what? Look what they did to Jesus. We only call to tell them people. We don't save them. We just tell them. And if they laugh at you or tell you to go to wherever you don't want to go, excuse me, is that the first time somebody is going to tell you that? But no, usually they don't tell you. They just say, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. That's okay too. You can never force them. But we must tell them. And we must try to do what we have to do. Okay, let's go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. Yeah, you have that mind. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. The mind of what? The anointed. That's what the word Christ means. Okay, we don't have the mind of Jesus, but we have the mind of the anointed of God. Who being in the form of God, thought it now robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Just think of that now, how obedient he was. And we have a neighbor that really needs the Lord. Nobody likes him, right? You don't like him, so it's more than likely nobody likes him. So somebody got to tell him about Jesus, right? So you got to go. Yes. And there's many ways to do it. Instead of despising him, you know, we say good morning and he looks away. Hey, keep saying it. You'll be amazed how it works eventually. But the point is, God says he's blessed what you do. It's not just your hands, it's your mouth, mostly. He's blessed what you, when you're saying your word, or what you want. How far did I get now? Became like that for men. And being found in the fashion of the man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even in the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, beings in heaven, beings in the earth, beings under the earth. It says things there, but things don't have knees to bow, you know, so it means beings. Okay? Yeah. Everyone will bow to Jesus one day. But the best time to do it is today, before he comes back. You don't do it before he comes back, you ain't going to be able, you're going to have to do it, but it'll be you're no good anyway at that time. You're going where you're going. But to do it now, to receive him, to walk in that light, that's what you want. Okay. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and knowledge. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do his pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons and daughters of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights, holding forth the word of life. That's what we have, people, the word of life. And unless we give it to them, they will perish. How long have I been going? I didn't look at the time when I thought. Okay. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 1, 2. Okay, I'm almost finished. 1 Peter 1:22-23. So seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which abideth forever. For all flesh is of the grass, man will go on to the bottom. And all the glory of man are the flower of the grass. The grass withered and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached. Okay, we read where we were new creatures in Christ, right? What is that new creature? I'm going to finish with who that new creature is, okay? 1 Peter 2, verse 9. This is who we are today, folks. But you are royal, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, or purchased people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We must show forth the praises of God who have called out of darkness into his light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, we are pilgrims passing through this world, people. We don't belong to this world anymore. We are going through this world now. Okay? Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war after the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles today, we can say the unsaved people, right? Not Gentiles. No. That whereas they may speak against your evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be kings as supreme or unto governors. As unto them that are sent by him. Okay, I'm going to finish the people. That's it. We are now a chosen, a royal priesthood, people. God says he's a great king. We are his children. If I remember right, the royal family are still producing kings and queens, right? Somebody once said they're going to be only five kings and queens left. Four in the card pack and one in England. It's almost getting to that, but not quite. But they forgot to talk about us. We are children of the King. And we are going to govern the universe one day. It says, well, we want war against what? Principalities and powers, right? Against rulers of the darkness of the earth. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Remember, you know that scripture, I don't know where it is, but it was there, where it says, we are the one that God is going to use now. But the point is, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, will God make known his manifest his wisdom through us, the church, unto the principalities and powers. We all know we wrestle against what? Principalities and powers, right? Yes. Rules of the darkness, or spiritual and wickedness in high places. Well, unto them, God is going to show his wisdom now. Because we're going to govern that universe one day. We're not going to heaven to go sit on a puffy white cloud and play a harp. My gosh, that would bore me to death. We're going to govern the universe. Okay, that's what we're going to do. I mean, the scientists, they look up there, they don't have a clue what they're looking for. And when they do find it, they can't believe it. You know? But God has something special for us. And if we walk with him, we are going to be the rulers of the universe. And we are going to bring God glory. not just here on earth, but throughout eternity. Eternity. God is forever, people, and we as children have a future forever. But we need now. It is my humble opinion this that our rank in heaven will depend on what we do on earth. Yeah. You want to kick back Christian life, that's what you get in heaven, a kickback Christian life. But if you are, you know, doing God's will, you know, proving yourself that you're willing to do, then he will have something special for those who are willing to go that extra mile. But again, I thank you all for the opportunity to be here, Pastor Joshua, my sister, and hope this message has been some help to you. God bless you all.